Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Earth-Moon System, the United States of America, NASA, the U.S. government, ready for the moon. But Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, the lunar program is a puzzle to me now because it involves elements of NASA's SLS and elements of SpaceX, and after that I get lost. Your opinion. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the headline of my essay that I wrote yesterday on Behind the Black, I think, says it all. Let me quote the headline. An American government program to get to the moon is simply not necessary. If we let Americans do it, we should let Americans do it on their own. And I come at this, John, as a historian, looking back at the past. For the first two centuries in the United States, we had no government programs to do these kind of things. In fact, people didn't want them. Americans were all for exploration and pushing things forward, but they wanted Americans to decide where to explore and push forward. They didn't want the government doing it, and they didn't care if America was not first, like getting to the South Pole or the North Pole. They didn't care if an American got there first. It really didn't matter to Americans at all. Our prestige was not based on achieving these stunts. Actually, our prestige was established by what the country stood for, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the idea that the citizen is sovereign. It is one of the reasons in the 19th century France gave us the Statue of Liberty because the world understood that that's what we stood for. We didn't need to be first in a exploratory stunt. So my argument here is that what we have to do is get back to that mindset. Everyone keeps talking about how we have to beat China to the moon. We've already been to the moon. We don't have to beat anybody. They're trying to catch up to us. What we need to do is establish an American aerospace industry that is very robust, competitive, made of many, many components trying to do many different things, space stations, rockets, satellite technology, interplanetary probes, lunar landers, everything. Across the board, if you create an industry like that and allow Americans to push forward with whatever their dreams are, we'll get to the moon much, much faster than a government program. The Artemis program has enormous problems. I've talked about it at length, and it's really not going to get us what we want, because if we land on the moon ahead of China, we'll plant the flag, and then we'll leave. There won't be any real accomplishment with that. But if we create a real industry in orbit, in space, that is competitive and profitable, which is what is beginning to happen right now, then we'll not only go to the moon, we'll very quickly create a profitable industry and societies there, because we will have a industry capable of making money as it explores the solar system. So that's my argument. A lot of people don't understand this mindset, because we've lived so long with depending on having a government program determining our prestige. And I'm trying to make people understand that our prestige is not determined by planting a human being on the moon. Our prestige is determined by the nation that we are. And having a great space industry of many companies is a much greater prestige setup for the world.
NASA headquarters needs a home. Last time I checked in, Florida was a bidding for it. What has happened since?
Oh, we first had Florida making a lot of moves, the legislators, and then we had Ohio legislators pushing. They wanted it in Ohio, and this is all being fueled by the rumors that the Trump administration is thinking about a major reorganization of NASA, including closing a lot of its spread-out centers nationwide to save money and make the agency more efficient, and also possibly shutting down the headquarters in Washington, D.C., and moving it elsewhere. Its lease for its building expires in 28, so a decision needs to be made. So now Texas lawmakers have issued a letter lobbying the Trump administration to move the headquarters to Houston, to the Johnson Space Flight Center. and they have their arguments that make some sense. That politicians in three different states are making this lobbying effort, John, tells me it's almost certain that the headquarters is leaving D.C. when its lease expires in 28. And during the Biden administration, NASA headquarters put forth a request for proposals for a multi-billion dollar headquarters it wanted to build in D.C. Well, that's gone. We're not going to waste that money. Instead, they're going to move the headquarters. The question is where. There are good arguments for Florida, and there are good arguments for Texas. I think in both cases, though, this whole politicking going on is part and parcel to the Trump administration's desire to shut down centers nationwide. They're offering the headquarters as a plum. For example, once ISS is deorbited, Johnson Space Flight Center is almost going to have no purpose at all to exist. It's supposed to run missions to space, but pretty much most of those missions are going to be private after ISS is gone. And so what do you do with it? Well, you give them the NASA headquarters, maybe, and you can actually reduce the size, but you make the politicians happy because they can say they got headquarters there. Same thing in Florida, maybe in Ohio. But either way, if you're going to shut down centers, you need to offer some kind of political plum, and I think that's what this is about.
The Bahamas, suddenly, echoes of the Biden administration. What is the complaint of SpaceX?
All right, so about 2 months ago in February, and it was before this they negotiated, SpaceX landed launched a Falcon 9 from Cape Canaveral from Florida, and it landed the first stage on a drone ship that was based, that had positioned itself within the territorial waters of the Bahamas. And they had to negotiate this with the Bahamas to allow them to do this. You know, even though it's a pretty harmless operation, it doesn't do really any harm. You know, there's territorial waters, so they wanted a negotiation involved. So SpaceX negotiated, they did the landing. But this week, Bahamas announced it is suspending any further Falcon 9 first stage landings in its territorial waters until a full environmental assessment is completed and submitted by the company. The company's already said that it's reviewed the launch and no environmental damage of any kind was done, which is blatantly obvious. Nothing really happens here. When the thing lands on the drone well, and they've done it now almost, 400 times? There's no harm done. But so they have to issue this report before the Bahamas will allow them to do it. And there's two reasons why this is going on, John. And it's all power play once again. One reason is that SpaceX has already contributed a lot of money to the educational programs in the Bahamas and as part of this negotiation. I suspect they're trying to apply some pressure to SpaceX to contribute more to allow these landings within Bahamas territorial waters. That's the first reason. Second reason is that there were a whole bunch of activists claiming to be environmentalists who demanded this assessment. The Bahamian government decided it, for political reasons, it had to bow to those chicken littles and issue the report to shut them up. And so I think that's what's going on here. SpaceX will do launches later from this area. It gives them more flexibility, and the Bahamas will get something from it.
What is Orbital Reef?
Right now, there are four different companies or consortiums building space stations, private commercial space stations to replace ISS. Three of those companies or consortiums have NASA developmental contracts to develop their space stations. These are not big contracts, but they do provide in the range of $100 million to do developmental and initial design work and even some construction. Of those four space stations, Orbital Reef is one, and it is being built by a consortium led by Blue Origin with Sierra Space as its partner. And as its Blue Origin, it has been the slowest moving of all the four space stations in doing what it needs to do. This week, NASA released a press announcement talking about how Blue Origin had successfully completed a, quote, human-in-the-loop test using a ground mock-up of Orbital Reef Space Station. This is a cardboard mock-up that doesn't really correspond really accurately to what the space station would be like, but they're trying to make it approximately close. And they completed that test, and how wonderful this is. And I read this, and it struck me completely cold, because it just indicates once again that Blue Origin is not doing very much with the money that it has gotten from NASA to do the developmental work. They're doing as little as possible. They're taking the Boeing approach to this. They they won't really start any work until they win the big contract that NASA's going to give out to two of these space station consortiums in about a year and a half. They're depending on PR and mock-ups to convince NASA to give them the contract, which is what Boeing did with Starliner. And the result was that didn't work out too well, did it, with Starliner, because they didn't do any really a lot of work until they got the money. And then they took a very casual attitude towards the money, thinking they can get more. And so Blue Origin, Over the Reef might look good. Some of the concepts are good. But the Sierra Space has done a lot of work and actually done full-scale testing of its life module on Earth. So they seem to be aggressive here. But Blue Origin, as the lead company in this space station, just continues to not impress, John.
We go to China's three-satellite constellation in lunar space. This requires some attention. Lunar space, does that mean lunar orbit?
No, lunar space meaning it's far from Earth, but they call it cislunar, and I just don't like that term because it's kind of jargon. But what China did was it wanted to test communications linking between multiple satellites in deep space and also test them working linked with Earth orbit as well. So they did this. This is a technology test satellite constellation. They sent two satellites to deep space, essentially lunar space, but maybe beyond the moon or in it, what they call a retrograde orbit that includes the Earth-Moon system. And those two satellites were in kind of different places in this lunar space region, maybe a million miles plus from Earth. And one of the third satellite was in Earth orbit. And they have tested now with those three satellites communication links and the technology necessary to use this. And this is part of, if you're going to have any kind of lunar base, you want to have full-time communications. And you're going to need a constellation of satellites in space to do it. Now, the Chinese have had relay satellites orbiting the moon, but this is a more sophisticated concept and now actually tested it. And I point out in my post on Behind the Black how China continues to follow the general overall plan it proposed back in 21 for exploring the moon and the solar system, and this is part of it. They have a rational long-term plan, and they're following it. We should be aware of that.
And we move to, from China, we move to the Germans, but this is private. Rocket Factory Augsburg, what is that?
All right, Rocket Factory Augsburg is one of three private rocket startups in Germany, and it last year was hoping to do its first rocket launch, but shortly before the launch, they were doing a static fire test on their launch pad, and the static fire test, they developed a leak in the rocket. I've got a picture on Behind the Block. You can see that it's flaming out sideways, and it exploded and did some damage to the launch pad, but not as much as, fortunately, not that much, but it destroyed the first stage. So they couldn't do the launch last year, and they're hoping still to do a second attempt this year. They have now replaced their CEO. The CEO they had hired to run the company was someone who came from outside the space industry. And he actually brought some great ideas. I've seen a lot of interviews with him to use technology that's already available off the shelf to do a lot of things. And a lot of this makes sense. It saves money and it makes things move quicker. But they have brought in a new CEO now who has a great deal of experience in the industry, specifically on launch services. So I guess they looked at the fact that the launch static fire launch test on the launch pad failed and decided they really need someone who knows a little bit more about launching and launch services and launch pads and that kind of stuff. So they brought this new person in, and we'll see if the company can make its first launch this year, John. One of the German rocket startup I saw attempted a launch last month. It failed. So there's still the race on who's going to get the first rocket from Europe into space.
Oman, a strange irony. This is a country that moves from the medieval to the modern to the future. For example, it's a refuge for IRGC agents who were in Yemen to fire missiles at the Red Sea traffic. And it was also the site of conversation between the United States and Iran about the nuclear weapon program suspect in Iran. It's also now bidding or looking to develop spaceport. It's Bob. This is a country that lives 500 years in the past and 500 years in the future.
Yeah, this is it's a strange situation, but they actually are following, as is many other Middle Eastern Arab nations, they're following the lead of the UAE. The UAE established a space program about, 10 years ago, and has been very impressive success. And so, of course, everyone wants to keep up with the Joneses. All the other Arab nations are trying to pile on and do their own thing. And Oman decided its location provides the potential of a really good spaceport, and this is true. And so it announced last year that it was developing a spaceport in Duqm, the city of Duqm on the coast. And they actually have done one or two suborbital test launches from this site. So it's still, nothing more than really a concrete pad, very simple operation. But they are aggressively trying to convince other nations and other companies to move there. And so this week they announced two things that was of interest. One, they're going to set up a viewing area for the public so people can come and watch launches at their spaceport, noting that, NASA does this and other nations do this. Second thing they announced is a launch schedule for the rest this year, with launches going on almost, four more launches this year, all of them involving private companies, one of which is going to try to do a vertical or takeoff and landing, John.
A strange world. Oman, O-M-A-N, little bitty country at the edge of the Arabian Peninsula. Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, we're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.